You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, if you look at the headlines on most days, leading media, political voices, if you listen to what their headlines are, you'll probably be convinced that all is lost, that we're going somewhere in a handbasket, somewhere south. That everything is lost, that we're a nation in decline, that there's nothing but bad things ahead. But if you dig underneath that, you have to get to a different kind of conversation where we can look at, is it all just about grievance being the most important thing? Do we constantly have to be in a state of being offended or even preemptively offended? So how do we get past the grievance and get to a better place? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Well, it's time to rethink what we think we know about the grievance age that we live in. Of course, on this show, every day we try to separate the rage from the reason while we elevate the conversation. And someone who is doing exactly that is Frank Bruni, professor of public policy and journalism at Duke University. He's a contributing writer for the New York Times. And he is the author of a book that comes out very soon called The Age of Grievance. I've been looking forward to this all day today. And Frank, welcome to the show.
I'm delighted to be here.
So give us your genesis to all of this in terms of how did we get to the age of grievance? It doesn't seem to be natural in our DNA, but here we are.
Yeah, no, I mean, there are a lot of answers to that. Part of it is America's turn toward pessimism over recent decades. Mm-hmm. A lot of it is social media and some of the kinds of conversations it encourages. A lot of it is our political leaders right now. Yeah. They're sort of modeling, you know, a pettiness and a vindictiveness that invariably trickles down to the rest of us. But when you put it all together, we're in a state of dysfunction and discord that I think is really threatening the very survival of our democracy. But I think we can do things differently. I think it's time to take a good, long, hard look at ourselves, ask if this is who we want to be, make some changes, and find a way to more productive conversations and a much kind of cooler temperature to our public discourse.
Yeah. One of the things that you pointed out in an excerpt from your book that was recently published is this whole idea that we've gone from being this optimistic, look at all the possibilities, blue sky, shoot the moon, American dream, exceptionalism, all of those things, to this pessimism. Walk us through that and kind of how we landed there, or where did we take a wrong turn that led us to such a pessimistic space?
Well, somewhere along the way, I think our kind of expectations grew outsized, and any shortfall we took in a kind of much, much more personal and bitter way than we needed to. But all I know is in my adult lifetime, and my guess is you've had the same experience, I've been absolutely gobsmacked by how we turn from optimism to pessimism, by the fact that it used to be a given that when you asked, when you surveyed Americans and said, do you expect your kids to do better than you did? A significant majority would say yes. That was kind of part and parcel of the American dream. Now, when you ask that question, you get much different answers. And I think what happens is when people no longer believe the pie is expanding, they become much more competitive and petty about their own slices of the pie. And I think you're seeing that in the conversations we're having. You're seeing that in politics, which emphasizes, here's why you shouldn't vote for that person. That person will help the people you disagree with at your expense. And it pits us against one another in a way that I think may be unsustainable.
I think that's so important. We end up in this zero-sum game of if you're doing better, that means I'm doing less better. Therefore, you're bad and evil. And it's kind of that lowest common denominator of if you're going to climb higher, I'm going to pull you back down to my level, not necessarily right. Try to work for both of us to move upward. One of the other things that you point out that I think is so important, you referenced it in how we look to the future and how we think our children's lives are going to be. We live in this country that has, I think, lifted more people out of poverty and created more opportunity than probably just about any society in history when you look at it globally. And now we suddenly seem to be looking in a completely different direction. What's the cure? What's the antidote to that?
You know, I think we have to rediscover a sort of reasonable patriotism. Somewhere along the way in recent years, to call yourself a patriot, to be proud of America, to be proud to be an American, somehow that became like a sign that you were unsophisticated or that you didn't care about all the progress the country still needed to make. Now, listen, we've not lived up to our ideals, and the more perfect union that we're constantly citing, we need to work harder toward that because a lot of Americans don't have an equal chance, and we haven't been as fair-minded and as inclusive as we should be. But that doesn't change the fact that this country has done enormous good for its own citizens, for the world, and I don't think feeling bad about being American, I don't think you know, younger people often say they think the founding fathers were a source of more evil than good. I don't think that's true to the American story. And I, most of all, I don't think it pushes us forward to a better place in the way that a kind of more clear-eyed appraisal of all the good we've done as well as the bad would lead us.
Yeah, we're definitely a believer in warts and all history, but not just warts. Because it's always easy to poke holes in history, but we have to remember when you go back in history, it's like going to a foreign country. They do things different, and it's easy for us to judge them, as you said, as part of the problem and part of the evil that goes on. I think we've also had our politics that have gotten us and conditioned us to respond inappropriately to the negative base emotions of fear, anger, frustration, contempt, because that's a good way to raise money or try to win a political campaign. And so I always like to get to this therefore what component to all of this. As you've gone through your book and as you've dug into these kinds of things, what's the therefore what? What should each of us individually do different or think different today when it comes to the age of grievance?
I think we need to rediscover a little virtue called humility. And in fact, you referenced an excerpt of my book that recently ran in The Atlantic about American pessimism. The New York Times ran an excerpt from the last chapter of the book in which I say that humility is the antidote to grievance. And what I mean by that is we all need to pause and remember that it's okay if someone disagrees with us and if we disagree with them, that there's still a productive conversation to have because our opinion doesn't need to win the day. We don't need to be entirely right because guess what? No one of us is entirely right. We prosper and we're most content when we value the collective good as well as our individual whims. All of those are exercises in humility, and I think if we all humble ourselves a little bit, we can advance common goals in a way that we're working against right now.
No question about it. We spoke last week during the eclipse that Neil deGrasse Tyson said that the cosmic perspective is humility. And from that humility comes curiosity where we can ask, I wonder why she thinks that way. I wonder why he thinks that's a good solution to that. And gets us to a very different place than just this place of grievance and pessimism. Great book. Everyone should check that out coming. So grateful to have Frank Bruni join us on the program today. Nick, good luck with the book. We want to have you come back and continue the conversation. The book is The Age of Grievance. So watch for that. An important conversation coming up soon. Thanks again, Frank.
Thank you.
All right. The politics of pessimism. Why so many American leaders are advancing a new kind of nihilism. I think Frank's hit it right on the head there, and it's an important conversation. But it all begins, as he said, with humility. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.